The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The doctor that was in charge of my case told me to get used to being handicapped,
I never in a million years thought I would never be able to get up and go to the bathroom.
46% of all the deaths that have happened for vaccines over the last 31 years happened in the last 3 months with these COVID vaccines.
Where I lose my ability to talk and the full function of the right side of my body.
Family says the mother and grandmother was healthy before she got her shot and that her sudden death came as a shock.
I am in the hospital with heart complications from the COVID-19 vaccine.
The CDC
has confirmed
higher than normal cases
of heart inflammation in 16 to 24-year-olds.
A football player is dead
after collapsing
just hours after getting his second
dose of COVID vaccine.
Loved ones say the 17-year-old's heart stopped,
suddenly collapsing.
The player collapsed during practice.
Collapsing during the game.
Collapsing on the tennis court.
He collapsed.
A player has just collapsed.
It seems that there's a second player who's collapsed.
This is unusual.
I've never seen anything like this. Yeah, what's going on?
Haven't seen anything like this, says the announcer. That's the trailer for Plandemic 3. There's actually been three of them. I was aware of Plandemic from last year. But now there's a third. I guess there's a third installment because this story just goes from bad to worst, and it's never ending. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. You think of 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 or 13. Evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Welcome back to the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. Sometimes we don't even take a break for a promo or a commercial. We just go 55 minutes straight. We'll try to work in a break today so that we can get to a second segment, a Bible study segment. We need it. We certainly need it in these dark days. You can get to our broadcast, as most of you know, from our own website, thetrumpet.com. thetrumpet.com/live takes you to the live stream page and also to the podcasts that are posted after the fact in case you'd like to listen on demand. So much to get to on today's program. As I say, they can produce not one, not two, but three installments of Plandemic because the story just won't go away and it worsens by the day. Listen to the New Zealand Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern. Listen to what she says about the quest, her quest to get every single person on Earth, or at least in her nation of New Zealand, vaccinated. This is clip 7.
Mind, so long as there's people who are eligible who haven't been vaccinated, we've got work to do. You know, I don't think I'll ever be satisfied so long as there's someone who's who is eligible and hasn't been. And that's why I've said this, there's not going to be an endpoint to this vaccination program. We're rolling out boosters now, so we've got another wave of people that we need to make sure that we're protecting again. So those who were vaccinated 6 months ago, we really need them to come back, or we need to go to them.
We'll go to them if we have to, but there's no endpoint here, she says. This will never end. And it won't end with two shots. We know this now, too. You've got to get the booster. And so whatever it takes in that Plandemic trailer, by the way, underneath all of those tragic stories, those life-threatening reactions to the vaccine, they played all of these promos, half of them I haven't even seen, these celebrities singing on their shows, get the vaccine, get the jab. That was months ago, and now, of course, we're moving more toward mandates, like I've played for you this week from Mayor Comrade de Blasio in New York. We got to get the 5-year-olds. The 5-year-olds can't go out to restaurants and movies if they don't get the jab. That's in New York City. Listen to this report out of the West Coast. I believe this is in Los Angeles, clip 4.
Even though the vaccine mandate for LAUSD doesn't go into effect until January 10th, some parents tell us that they believe their kids are being pressured into getting the jab.
I should have been involved.
Maribel Duarte says her 13-year-old son, a student at the Barack Obama Global Prep Academy in South L.A., brought home this vaccine card after having accepted the COVID-19 vaccine at school. She says he said yes when someone offered it in exchange for pizza.
The lady that gave him the shot and signed the paper was the one that told my son, please do not say anything. I don't want to get in trouble.
LAUSD says student matters are confidential and wouldn't comment specifically, but did say its Safe Schools to Safe Steps incentive program is meant to ensure several steps are in place for vaccinated students to receive prizes. Duarte says she's not against the vaccine. She's vaccinated herself, but it's different with her son.
In regards to my son's health, I am against it.
Because he's got some underlying conditions that concern you?
Yes. He has problems with asthma and allergy problems.
Yeah, he's got underlying conditions, and yet the school official, whoever it was, bribed him into getting the vax without telling the parents. Don't say anything. I don't want to get in trouble. Here's some pizza. We'll give you some pizza if you get vaxxed. And then I like how the school has no comment. Oh, this is confidential. Just like the transgender incident, I guess, in Loudoun County. Got to keep it quiet. It's none of your business. You parents, just stay out of our business at school. Unless your child shoots it up, then we'll come after you. If your child ends up bringing a gun to school and using that, we'll definitely come after you. But in every other instance, just keep your nose out of our business. That's in the United States. That's the same mentality as that tyrant in New Zealand. We'll go and do whatever we have to make sure you get the jab. And be assured, it's set up. It's set up at all the schools in LA County just to make it as easy as possible. I'm sure Gavin Newsom made that possible. So very important to him. We gotta save the children. With this experimental gene therapy, this experimental drug. There's a big story in the UK right now. In fact, I was watching the Aston Villa game on Sunday. They had a moment of silence for this little boy, Arthur Hughes. 6 years old. I didn't know anything about the story at the time. But everybody in the stadium, even the players, were clapping for this six-year-old. It's gotten the attention of the entire nation over in the UK. He was beaten to death by his father and stepmother during the lockdown. And now the trial's going on. And some of this is just right down the road from where we are at Edstone, our sister campus in Solihull, just south of Birmingham. It's just right down the road from where we're situated. And here's this little boy. During the lockdown, everybody's hiding out. He's got abusive parents. And people knew it. Neighbors knew it. Relatives knew it. We're now finding out the details of the case. He was heard. This little boy was heard saying, "Nobody loves me. Nobody's going to feed me." And the uncle, knowing this boy was being abused, went over to the house to try to rescue him. But the father wouldn't have it. So the uncle, as he should have, he went to the police. He went to law enforcement in the United Kingdom, said, "Hey, there's a kid here, 6 years old, he's being abused." And what did the police tell him to do? They told him to stay away from the house because we're in lockdown. They told him to keep social distance because it's all COVID. Only thing that matters is COVID. Got to save the kids, right? This is satanic. This is right out of Ephesians 2 and verse 2. There's a prince of the power of the air. In this case, a lockdown casualty. Police. If you can imagine, if you can even wrap your mind around this, police in Birmingham more concerned about social distancing last year than they were about saving a boy from being beaten to death by his parents. My father, this is the latest Trumpet magazine, by the way. Face the storm, says the cover. Face the storm, and my father's feature on page one, or I guess the, it would be page one of the issue. He says, these evil spirits, this is talking about the devil and his demon army behind these deranged and perverse activities that are happening all around us. These evil spirits are exerting terrible and growing influence today, and much of this is by manipulating our human leaders. You can recognize the devil's presence in the breezy deceit and brazen lies. You see it in the way the elites are trampling people's freedoms and rights, yet remain utterly untroubled by the catastrophic effects of their edicts. Utterly untroubled. So what if there's side effects to the lockdown or to the vaccines? Utterly untroubled. We can't even go there. Google, remember, says, hey, if you even bring up vaccine side effects, you're going to get deleted. You're going to be censored. If you haven't subscribed, I just flipped through this magazine last night. I read through some of my father's piece this morning. If you're not a Trumpet subscriber, make sure that you subscribe today. Tomorrow, if you want to get tomorrow's news today, then be a Trumpet subscriber. The toll-free number, 1-866-930-3024. And just ask our operators for a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet magazine. Also in the UK this week, there was a coroner, his funeral home. It's in Milton Keynes. That's just a little ways north of London. He comes out with this video yesterday and says, hey, we're seeing all kinds of deaths due to heart attacks, strokes, that kind of thing. He's never seen anything like it. Listen to this man's testimony. This is clip one.
So what we're seeing is a large number, an unnaturally large number of deaths due to heart attack, stroke, aneurysm. And these are all as a direct result of thrombosis, embolisms in the lungs, the legs, various places that's causing these deaths. And these are well documented by the local coroners. These are well documented, across the country. Nobody seems to be concerned by the alarming rise in them, I used to see a blood clot very, very rarely, and now I've seen more this year than I have in the previous 14, to give you an idea. I've written to the chief coroner of England. He isn't concerned.
The chief coroner in England is not concerned. Nobody seems concerned. This man's never seen anything like it in his 14 years as a coroner there in Milton Keynes. He's trying to, so he makes the video and sends that out. That's about all he can do, I guess. Nobody's interested? Nobody's concerned? What does my father say in the latest Trumpet magazine? You can recognize the devil's presence in the breezy deceit and brazen lies. You can see it in the way the elites are trampling people's freedoms and rights, yet remain utterly untroubled by the catastrophic effects of their edicts. Doesn't faze them at all. Google says, hey, any claims that an approved COVID-19 vaccine will cause death, infertility, miscarriage, autism, can't post it. Can't do it. That violates our community standards. Here again is this coroner from just north of London, clip two.
The other type of death that I'm seeing, which is more distressing for me personally, is people who are getting sick now as their immune systems finally give up. So they've had the jabs maybe 6-8 months ago, and it's been eating away at their immune system, and now they're struggling to fight off things like the common cold. So we're in winter, and as you'll be aware, there are colds and flus about in this time of the year. These people can't fight it off, and the government were very quick to label it Omicron, a new variant, you know, and they are sick, but they're sick with basic thing like the common cold.
So he's noticing two things. These people dying of heart attacks, strokes, that sort of thing, blood clots. And then others dying of the common cold because their immune systems are compromised. And then the UK government, well, if it's the chief coroner of the nation, he doesn't even return the call. He doesn't want to talk to this man. He doesn't care what's happening in Milton Keynes and a lot of other places. That story we gave to you yesterday. UK faces up to 300,000 new heart condition cases. Why? Well, it's post-pandemic stress disorder. It's either post-pandemic stress or Omicron. One of the two. One of the two. This is from Breitbart last June, or just in June this past year. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is holding an emergency meeting this week, this June 18, to discuss cases of heart inflammation disorders among young people after receiving a vaccine for the Chinese coronavirus. The CDC met just a few months ago because of these increased cases of heart inflammation. So connect the dots. But you can't do that. We're not supposed to do this. We're supposed to play along with all the celebrities singing, hey, just get the jab. Get another jab. Get the booster. It's never, as the New Zealand Prime Minister says, it's never going to end. In my father's personal, he writes, the fruits are terrible, but these elites refuse to admit it. They continue pushing their disastrous ideas that much harder, just like the devil himself does. They continue pushing their disastrous ideas that much harder. That's the way the devil operates. Their arrogance makes them extremely vulnerable to the devil's influence. They're so vulnerable to Satan's power and influence, and they have no idea. They have no idea what's happening. Pfizer and Moderna, their CEOs keep coming out talking about, hey, we've got everything prepared and ready. We've been ready for this new strain for months. Even as people keep dying, the VAERS website, 20,000 vaccine deaths? That's right. You can find the stats. You have to dig pretty deep. But you can get to the truth. This was a question asked at the British Parliament yesterday of the health minister. Notice this, clip 5.
How many of those who have tested positive in the UK are ill?
Secretary of State.
The number of confirmed cases in the UK is 336. They are all, by definition, infected. They will have been various. Some may be asymptomatic. Others will be feeling ill. None of them, so far as I am aware, have been hospitalized.
336 cases and no one hospitalized in a nation where everyone goes to the hospital for the littlest of things? They've got free health care. 336, zero hospitalizations? If I'm not mistaken, I think that's 0%. The Omicron strain, it's comparable to a common cold. That's what it amounts to. And yet you've got Neil Ferguson. He's making a comeback. The man that had to disappear last year in disgrace. Talking about how millions and millions were going to die in the United States and the UK because of COVID. COVID, COVID, COVID. It was his models that Fauci and Birx and all the experts in the U.S. latched onto and said, we got to lock it all down for 15 days. That became 2 years. He's back saying we need more lockdowns. Why? Well, Omicron, that's why. And you've got health officials in the UK now saying, well, maybe we should reconsider our position on vaccine passports. Why? Omicron, that's why. You know, the strain that sent zero people to the hospital in the UK. They're talking about it now. We've got to call on some of these venues to require passports in order to approve them for big gatherings. Meanwhile, you know, the other big story in the UK right now, the huge Christmas party that they threw on Downing Street. That's right. Boris Johnson, or maybe it was his wife, all these top officials. And they tried to brush it aside for days. No, it didn't happen. And then, well, yeah, it did happen, but all the rules were obeyed. This, as the UK government is telling British citizens, you better make sure there's no parties. No parties at this time of year. There was a case where a group of teens got together and were fined £10,000 because they had too many people for a gathering. And the elites can do it. And this is exactly what my father spells out in his personal. The elites, that's no problem. My father writes, in this process, the true agenda of the radical elites is being unmasked. This is not incompetence. This is not a good faith attempt to improve people's lives. This is an intentional agenda from an evil motive to deliberately destroy what little good is left in our societies. It says many of our leaders hate the principles that many of us cherish: free and fair elections, rule of law, honoring law enforcement, schools respecting parents, and protecting the innocence of children. Harmony among races, marriage and family, individual liberty, human dignity, freedom of thought, speech and religion. The elites, you see, they could care less about any of these things. It's all about the agenda. 12 years old, you're at school, the parents aren't looking. Jab them up! How many more kids have gotten the jab that haven't told their parents? Well, they got free pizza. Bribing children so that they can put this poison that's killing young people in some cases. And there's video of it, as that documentary brings out. Again, you have to search far and wide to get to it because of the cancel culture. The cancel culture that's just obsessed with carrying out these authoritarian dictates. My father says, our world has never changed so dramatically, so rapidly. Leaders in politics, business, education, and media are ignoring the law, violating freedoms, and enforcing radical policies on unwilling people. They're turning coronavirus, the environment, race, and other issues into weapons for forcing through their agenda. This is already affecting all of us, but believe it or not, much worse is coming. That's the truth. Much worse is coming. Listen to that. We talked to you, I believe it was on Friday's show last week, about what this means for Europe and how that the people over there are being conditioned for a tyrannical leader. Listen to this German EU parliament member sound the alarm on what's really happening here with these lockdown measures, these vaccine passports, all of this. This is clip 6.
My name is Christine Anderson. I'm a member of European Parliament. I'm imploring all of you around the world who still think your governments are looking out for your best interest. At no point in history have the people forcing others into compliance been the good guys. The welfare of humanity has always been the alibi of tyrants. Do you not realize that this vaccine does not protect you from COVID? It does, however, protect you from governmental oppression. For now, that is. But don't think for even a second that this is not going to change tomorrow. I'm a German, and we once asked our grandparents how they could have just stood by in silence, allowing a horrific totalitarian regime to come about. Anyone could have known. All they had to do was open their eyes and take a look. The vast majority chose not to. So, what will you tell your grandchildren? Will you tell them you didn't know? Will you tell them you were just following orders? You need to understand, it isn't about breaking the fourth wave. It is all about breaking people.
That's a German EU parliament member. My father, in that article last year, I gave you this again last Friday, Coronavirus and the Holy Roman Empire. He did a Key of David program on that as well. The article that we produced from that, he says, European leaders are increasingly behaving like dictators and assuming dictatorial power. The people of Europe are being conditioned to accept more tyrannical leadership. They're being conditioned. This is clearing the way for the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. More broadly, in this latest issue of the Trumpet magazine, my father says, the elites are destroying our societies so they can trigger a great reset and build back better. But they want to rebuild to some kind of perverse socialist or communist utopia. That's what the radicals in our nations want. The United States, Britain, New Zealand, Australia. In Europe, it's gonna have a little bit of a different effect in the end. It's clearing the way for the Daniel 8 man. It's clearing the way for the emperor. It says here, they are woefully misguided. While they hypocritically enjoy freedoms and powers they deny to everyone else, just like what happened in the UK, just like what happened at Downing Street with their Christmas party, they oppress and they tyrannize. They act as if they can build a better world as they plunge the world into nuclear World War III. This is what's being exposed by this program and a few others too. The truth is getting out. But the network, the vast network of those intent on canceling the truth, blotting out the truth, blotting out even the name of Israel. That is quite a network of deception and lies. We've got to see what's really going on here. There was another clip from Joe Rogan. His podcast, again, reaches something like 10 or 15 million people. He was talking just recently about the election steal. I might have to wait and use those tomorrow. But he made another comment about this supposedly white supremacist organization called Patriot Front. They had a rally in Washington, D.C. on Saturday, just last weekend. And look at this is clip 10, I believe. Look at all of these Patriot Front members as they're marching in lockstep. They're all masked up. They're all wearing brown khakis. And the flags are all exactly the same size. And then later on, when the march is over, there's all these U-Haul trucks that come along and pick them up. So listen to what Joe Rogan had to say about this danger. I mean, this spread all over social media. Oh, and you know what Joe Biden has said? White supremacy, that's the greatest danger facing the United States. Listen to what Joe Rogan told his audience this week, clip 12.
Are you aware of this new hate group march that was walking where all these guys were walking with American flags? Yeah, they all jumped in the back of a U-Haul truck together. Yeah. There has never been a thing that I've ever seen where almost immediately I was like, those are feds.
Did this happen?
I immediately, like, that's fake. Like, my immediate feeling. I looked at them. First of all, these guys are too slim. I'm looking at these guys. They're all in shape. They're all thin. They're uniformly marching with flags. I'm like, Someone did a deep dive on Twitter. I wish I could remember who. But someone did a deep dive on Twitter and found out that the account in which this whole thing went viral is a completely fake account that has no followers and was started about a month ago with an AI-generated face. It's a fake face. And if you look at these people walking down the street with their masks on, all dressed in black, all wearing like essentially a uniform, all holding the same size American flag. And then eventually they all jumped into the back of a U-Haul and were carted off.
15 million viewers for that show. But think about a government, or if it wasn't the government, Antifa, whatever, whoever it was, think about the hatred, the demonic hatred that they have for Trump supporters or just white people in general to stage something. Obviously, it was staged. Nobody ever heard of this group until last weekend. And then there's a fake Twitter account to set it up so it spreads over social media. And, of course, you have all the comments together with the footage we just showed you, people that are too dumb, basically, to understand what's really happening here. One tweet, the fascist white supremacist group Patriot Front is marching on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. right now. I mean, this is the greatest threat we're facing. And it's just fake. It's a fake white supremacist group. Sponsored by either the feds or some left-wing group of some sort. If it's the government, can you imagine a government? Well, we know they did it on January the 6th. Ray Epps still hasn't been, he still has not been arrested. He's the one that said, we need to go to the Capitol. We need to march inside the Capitol. And the crowd said, you're a fed. That's not what we're about. Tucker Carlson had a segment the other night about his name's Redface45, another Ray Epps, basically. He's got all the Trump gear on, he's in the red face, and he's handing out weapons on January the 6th. Sledgehammers, poles, mace. He too never has been arrested. No indictment for him. He was there to entrap Trump supporters. He was there to set up Trump supporters, just like Ray Epps. And of course, you've heard what Joe Rogan had to say about Ray Epps already on this show. I mentioned that, well, this week he's also had some comments about the steal. Again, this is a huge odd. No wonder a majority of Americans now say that, yeah, there was a lot of cheating that went on November 3rd, 2020. Listen to Joe Rogan from this week as well, clip 8.
I don't think there's 0% voter fraud. I don't think there's 0%.
Oh, there certainly is not 0%.
It's not 0. So what's the number? What's up with these mail-in ballots?
Oh.
You know, when scholars that investigate the veracity of voting systems, they continually point to mail-in ballots as the absolute weakest link in that structure.
Yeah.
Scholars, historians, political commentators. We've played clips before the election last November. The CNN would acknowledge that, yeah, well, when there's a lot of mail-in ballots, that's when there's a lot of cheating that goes on. That's what we had last year. It happened in the United States of America over at American Greatness. It says, but in the blink of an eye, the real estate magnate turned politician, speaking of Trump, was shunted back to Mar-a-Lago after supposedly losing the first ever mail-in ballot election to a 77-year-old feeble and often confused man who campaigned almost exclusively from his basement on the lie that he would restore our national unity. The first time ever. A mail-in ballot election. That's how they were able to pull off the steal. That's how you know this is all part of the plandemic. It's all part of the scam. It's all part of the hoax. I mean, COVID is real, but it's man-made. That's part of the plan, too. Make the virus. Get Anthony Fauci to sponsor it, to finance it, and then release it, and then use it. And they're still using it, aren't they? You better get this latest Trumpa magazine. that we are facing the storm of all storms. This world, like my father says in the opening paragraph, this world has never changed so dramatically, so fast. Listen again. I don't know who his guest is here, Joe Rogan's, but listen to the guy that's across the table from him. This is clip 9.
My buddy Daryl Cooper, he posted a thread on Twitter, and he just sort of pieced together line by line like how you get how the hardcore Trump supporters got to a point where they were saying, "Hey, this is the election got stolen." Doesn't it seem weird that the four swing states that Biden needed to win, they happen to be the states that had these voting anomalies? Doesn't that seem weird? And he just went down the list of these things, and none of it was speculation. It was all just, these are facts about what happened that end up with someone saying, hey, you know what? The election got stolen.
These are facts about what happened. But the thing is, those facts get scrubbed from the record. They get deleted from social media, just like the 20,000 vaccine deaths. 20,000, think of it. 20,000 Americans dying this year that we know of this year from the vaccine. 300,000 cases of heart conditions, strokes, blood clots in the UK. A coroner trying to sound the alarm, but the chief coroner in the UK won't listen to him, won't even return his call. This article really does set the tone, not only for the rest of the issue, my father's piece on page 1, it just gives you a perfect explanation for why this world is the way it is. And look, it's getting worse. Coming back to this election steal, American Greatness says, the ruling class told us we weren't allowed to question the outcome of the most bizarre and corrupt election in history, one in which tens of millions of ballots were mailed out without proper safeguards in place to ensure that the identity of the voter could be verified, and where several Democratic secretaries of state illegally changed election laws in defiance of state legislators. Trump's 75 million supporters were rightfully outraged as they saw his election night lead slip away in the wee hours of the morning while being labeled rubes and conspiracy theorists by the ruling class. Yes, the same ruling class that is quite happy to stage a fake rally in Washington, D.C. to prove how dangerous white people are, or Trump supporters, whatever it is. That German parliamentarian, she's right. She sees what's happening in Europe and all over the world. Donald Trump's coming back, by the way. God's going to intervene in the United States. We just don't know how or when, but it is prophesied. But that's not going to solve everything either. My father says in this same Trumpet magazine, Jesus Christ himself prophesied just as we and our governments erupt in destroying the entire human race, he will return to put down human rebellion by force, abolish all human governments, and set up a literal government that will rule all of mankind, the kingdom of God. That is our greatest and only hope. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Send us an email. Give us some feedback. We love that. TD@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. One may blind his eyes to existing facts and trends and say the world cannot get any worse than it already is. Or, if we just ignore the conditions and don't worry, perhaps they'll go away. But these conditions and trends won't just go away. Not unless they are caused to go away. The scriptures of the Holy Bible, the inspired revelation of the Supreme God, have foretold today's world conditions and trends, and give us the advanced news of coming peace on earth, of universal prosperity, of happiness and joy, of veritable utopia. This is the good news of the world tomorrow, and it is absolutely sure. This coming world is vividly described in our booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Bible prophecy explains in detail how God will intervene to save mankind from destroying himself. Jesus Christ will return to earth, putting an end to the rule of man and restore God's government on earth. To learn much more about this prophesied utopia, please visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
A couple programs ago, we were continuing our study. We talked a little bit about our church anniversary yesterday on the show. But before that, we were looking into the subject of the human spirit, the human mind. Zechariah 12 and verse 1 says that God formed that spirit in man. Job 32 and verse 8, there is a spirit in man. And as I say, the prophet Zechariah says that God made it. God formed it. God wants us to get our minds on the great creator God of all, the maker of all there is, the maker of our human bodies and minds, fearfully and wonderfully made, it says in the Psalms. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, he wrote in this book here, Mystery of the Ages, you can, again, call the toll-free number to order your free copy of his greatest book, Mystery of the Ages. Operators are standing by, 1-866-930-3024. It says in Mystery of the Ages, human life is at once of infinitesimally less value than the experts suppose, and at the same time of supremely greater potential than they know. So scholars, educators, even theologians today, they overvalue human life, this temporary physical existence, when God says it's really the physical existence of it all. It's really nothing. It's just like a vapor that fades away, or a blade of grass that burns in the August sun. But eternal life, now that's something worth setting our sights on. Set your mind on the things above, said the Apostle Paul. It says here, what is the real truth concerning human worth? What's the real value of human life? It's grossly overestimated in its own reality and astoundingly undervalued in its supreme potential. The truth, indeed, is staggering. Now, Herbert Armstrong had a lot to say and write about regarding the human spirit over the years, but in the final year of his life, in that year he was working on putting together Mystery of the Ages, he put special emphasis on the real value of human life, because that gets to our purpose for being. Why are we here? How should we use these brief years that we have? Mystery of the Ages says, the Creator reveals and instructs in a highly coded book, the Holy Bible. Its profound message is open to human understanding through the presence and indwelling of the Holy Spirit injected into the human mind that has surrendered and yielded completely to the revelation in belief and obedience. It says, to such a one, the truth is made plain, wonderful, beyond description. It says, but the human spirit in mortal man makes possible a direct contact from the great spirit God. See, God is a spirit, John 4 and verse 24. And we're able to connect to him, so to speak, to have a relationship through him, because we have a human spirit. A human spirit that the Spirit of God can join together with. Romans 8 and verse 16, read it. The Spirit itself testifies together with our spirit, said Paul. Mr. Armstrong says, meditate on this. We humans sometimes speak about speak of how wonderfully God made man with his brain and marvelous physical components of all his body, all functioning together. But without this spirit imparting the power of intellect to the brain and also opening a channel of direct communication with the mind of the great God, man would be no more than the dumb brutes. It's because of this human spirit, this spirit component. It's not an immortal soul. It's an inanimate spirit that gives us the power of intellect, that gives us a godly type mind, a mind that's able to create and think and reason. And God created us with that ability, so that we could have a relationship with Him, a God who is spirit. Mystery of the Ages says, human life is animal existence, but in the form and shape of God, and with the human spirit added to the brain. It says man was created to have a relationship with his Maker. We were made to have a relationship with God. And you see what kind of world this is when man turns away from that, when man rejects that. Of course, all of human civilization from the beginning has been cut off from the Holy Spirit. But now we're to the point where we just shake our fist defiantly at God. We don't want God's opinion. We don't want God's view. We reject that. We go our own way. It says here, the real value of human life lies solely within the human spirit combined with the human brain. Now go over and read Ephesians 1, verses, I think, 12 to 14, and see how that when that Spirit of God joins together with our human spirit, that's the beginning of eternal life in God's kingdom. Assuming we remain steadfast and endure to the end, and that we don't quench that spirit, but that we stir it up, like Paul said to Timothy, that we draw on the power of God, that we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we're ultimately born into God's family as a God being, as a child of God, as the bride of Christ. This is all in your Bible. Some of you that maybe are listening for the first time or you're new to the program, you've probably never heard anything like this. I don't have time to go to all the scriptures. But be assured, it's right out of your Bible what God's working out here below. God gave us these bodies that we have and the minds that we have so that we could have a direct relationship with Him, so that we could establish contact with Him. Now God, for His part, He has to open our minds and call us. John 6 and verse 44. And if you're listening or watching this program, that may well have happened for some of you. It happened long ago, years and years ago. But look at our dear brethren in the Laodicean era. So many of them just fallen away from the truth. They've lost interest in this purpose, this plan being worked out here below. They've stopped studying their Bibles. They've stopped praying to God. Here they had a relationship with God. They had a relationship with the God who made them. And then they lost interest in it. They just walked away. And now they're just left to their own devices, just going the way of this world, this sin-drenched, sick, perverted world, this world filled with violence, thoughts on evil continually, it says in Genesis 6. Job 14 here, in verse 1 in the Moffat, it says, man is born of woman, lives but a few days, and is full of trouble or experiences. We have just a few days, a few experiences, but what are we going to learn from those experiences? Will we use this short temporary existence that we have to prepare for the kingdom of God to prepare for God's family? Verse 7, it says, for there is hope of a tree, if it's cut down, that it will sprout again. Verse 8 says, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dies, verse 10, and wastes away. Man dies and just wastes away, goes right back into the dust of the earth and turns into that over time. And not that long. It doesn't take that long for us to just return to what we're made of. Man dies and wastes away. Yea, man gives up the spirit. And where is he? And it builds toward verse 14. We often read this passage during our funeral ceremonies. In verse 14, it says, if a man dies, shall he live again? Is he going to live again if he dies? I'll read both verses, verses 14 and 15. It says, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change come. Thou shalt call, verse 15, and I shall answer you. You will have a desire to the work of your hands. The work of your hands. God, you see, is a workman. And you can see this brought out in other passages, Isaiah 64, the book of Romans. I believe it's Romans 9 or Romans 11, where Paul talks about God being the master potter. He's working in us. If we're yielded to him, if we've received of his spirit, if we're living our lives based on the truth of God, then he, as the master potter, he shapes and forms us into his very character and being. He gives us, 1 Peter talks about him giving us his nature, 1 Peter 1, 2 Peter 1 as well, his nature, his character. He's a father after all. I went through this morning in doctrines class, the truth about the Holy Spirit and being born into God's family. I mean, that ties right in with this study of the human spirit, because the human spirit is what bridges us. It's what bridges man to God. It's how God's able to join his spirit, his mind, his life. It's how he's able to join it together with us so that we can realize our incredible human potential. Isaiah 64 and verse 8 is where it talks about the potter and the clay. Let me just read to you from Ephesians 2 here before we run out of time. Ephesians 2, 8, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, there's nothing that we can do of and by ourselves without God involved in our lives and minds. We can't do anything. Jesus said it in John 5:30. I can of my own self do nothing. Nothing. All the miracles, the work, the powerful, powerful message that he brought to mankind, that was by the power of God living in him. He had it without measure from birth, that spirit power. So we can't do it by our own power or might. It says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. See, we're God's workmanship. Now we've got to do our part. We've got to yield to God's government and authority in our lives, and we've got to cry out to God in this relationship that we're meant to have with him through prayer, through study. But it's God's works. It's God's righteousness. It's God's character. Ultimately, that we submit to, that we let flow through our lives, in and out of our lives, from God, through us, and out in the form of good works. Well, we could study this for hours on end, but we're out of time. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Send us an email, td@thetrumpet.com. www.thisnewhategroupmarch.com. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.